joined us calm. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg, up next. Support for the morning show comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, a unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe, Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. Support for the morning show also comes from Carthage College, reminding you that this weekend is Carthage's homecoming. Events culminating in a homecoming concert Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at Siebert Chapel, which will feature the Carthage Choir and Carthage Wind Ensemble, as well as two very special music alums coming back to perform. 2 o'clock, free and open to the public, Sunday afternoon, Carthage's homecoming concert. And we welcome you to the Thursday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. And we bid you good morning and welcome you into today's edition of the WGTD Morning Show. Greg Berg is off today. I'm Dave McGrath. And today we welcome Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, back for his monthly appearance on the program. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
And Brian's guest today is Dr. Al Gomez, the chief academic officer at the STEM Academy here at Gateway. Dr. Gomez, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Well, I'm looking forward to learning about STEM, what it is, what it means to the students and the Gateway.
David, I think you're going to enjoy today's program. Just, I hope our listeners do as well, because what we're doing right here today, broadcasting this radio station, I'm watching you manipulate all of the different buttons that you have here and the digital feeds that you're getting and the monitors. It's very different today to broadcast a radio program than it was even maybe 5 or 10 years ago. And so technology has really driven some monumental changes in the way that we think about education, connecting science and technology and math and applying that to everyday careers like radio broadcasting, yeah, or machining or science, is any type of program that is related to kind of innovative technologies of today.
So I'm looking forward to learning a
you
lot
bet.
Today.
Me too. Al's a great champion for STEM. We're glad to have him with us today.
But first, we turn to Brian now in his, am I correct? This is your 10th year as
10th
president?
10th year, Dave. You're right.
Son of a gun.
I know. It goes really fast, doesn't it? I'm pretty pleased and very honored to represent Gateway for the last decade or so. You know, in the community college and technical college world, the tenure of a college president is about 6 years, so I've surpassed my average right now.
Okay, good for you. So let's get down to business.
Yes.
The new semester started September 6th. Faculty is back. Students are looking for their classrooms. And a lot going on here at Gateway Technical College. Can you update us on the current events and activities going on in all of our campuses?
Yeah, this is certainly an exciting time of the year for me personally, for everyone that's associated with Gateway, and hopefully for our community. You know, not only Gateway back to school, but all of our area high schools and the partnerships we have with our middle and elementary schools to really create a learning environment, culture for our community. And, you know, as we start up a new semester, I'm often reminded about the journey that our students have gone on. Many of those are first-time college students, graduated from high school a few months ago and now are starting their college career right here at Gateway and can pursue that on to other venues after Gateway if they choose. And a vast majority of our students are returning, so they've been here before. Maybe they've taken classes last semester or maybe even a few years ago and are returning to update their skills. And for some of our students, they're adults that are just really trying to recreate their future opportunities, coming back, gaining new skills, maybe going down a different occupational path and looking for greater success for what our community can offer them in the job market. And we know that that changes every year. We see new companies moving in, new technologies that we've talked about, increased the ability for individuals to accelerate their careers. And so proud that Gateway is celebrating not only my 10th year, but our 105th year of service to our communities, which is really unique. It is the oldest two-year publicly funded college in America. Gateway has a rich tradition, and we're quite proud of what we've not only done in the past, but as I look forward to what we have to offer our students in the future.
We talked earlier, as you brought Al in, about this Cardinal Stritch agreement with Gateway.
Yeah, so just a couple of weeks ago, we signed another, what I would say, a milestone articulation agreement with the University at Cardinal Stritch. We have many great partners, including Parkside and Carthage right here in our backyard, Marquette, MSOE. We talked about those partnerships in the past. It's an articulated effort where students can take courses at Gateway and then transfer those over to the university and complete their baccalaureate degree. What makes this one a little special and a little unique, Cardinal Stritch has been a partner with Gateway for, over 10 years already. We have an articulation agreement between our associate degree business program to a bachelor's degree in business, and Cardinal Stritch is going to offer that right on the Gateway campus, so students would not have to leave. Then what we did is we extended that into an MBA program. So now for the first time, Gateway will be offering, in partnership with Cardinal Stritch, associate degree, bachelor's degree option, and MBA right here on the Kenosha campus. So we think this is a new model for us to help build pathways where students that live in our community can take advantage of their local college, Gateway Technical College, and complete both their associate, bachelor's, and master's if they want to right here without having to leave their home and their families and all the other responsibilities that they have. So Cardinal Stritch has just really helped us champion that and lead the way. We hope to sign more agreements like that in the future.
Wow. Things are happening always at Gateway, are they not?
They are. We try to keep on the cutting edge and ultimately providing greater options for our students.
Sure. Let's welcome Al Gomez back into the program. New to the show. I know this may be your first appearance on the show with Brian.
First appearance, long-time listener, first-time caller.
But you've been working at Gateway with Brian for a while. Tell us, if you could, Al, your career path, you know, the Reader's Digest version of how you got to Gateway and to the STEM Academy.
Well, reversing the time a little bit, what's interesting is that I started in an area where people said that I was not going to be a college material student. And back then, you know, college gave you a little bit of an advantage on life if you just went. Nowadays, we need return on investment, so students are looking for what's at the back end of their careers. But rewinding a little bit, going into my high school career, you know, it wasn't but for a few people that gave some indication that I was going to have some kind of career. I spent a little time at University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee in the School of Architecture. Ended up at Stout for education and started teaching in Fort Worth, Texas, and then Minneapolis, and then landed in Madison, Wisconsin, where I was teaching at West High School for a while, and ended up getting my master's degree and PhD in engineering from the University of Wisconsin.
I just want to add that I've known Al for a very long time. I knew Al when he was a student over at West Milwaukee High School. Al was a champion in a program called Skills USA, in which we had student competitions. And my role at the Department of Public Instruction at the time was to help coordinate those activities. So I was kind of watching Al as he went through his competition, and in fact, gold medal winner. So I'm very proud of Al and his skills and abilities. And then to have him go into the field that I actually went into as well, teaching technology at an inspiring young people in competitive areas like high mileage vehicle competitions and some really creative venues around technology and engineering has helped to transform the State Association for Teachers in Technology to become more of an engineering problem-solving based program. So it's no surprise to me that he is now at the top of his game as the Chief Academic Officer for the STEM Academy and leading the nation in helping other teachers build that sort of infrastructure and capacity to engage their community around careers that are related to STEM education.
Al, I'm curious, you mentioned you went to UWM's School of Architecture, so you have some natural ability in, like I said, fixing things and building things and designing things. But what was the trigger? I'm curious, what was the trigger that sent you towards STEM? And we should point out, some people don't know what STEM means, so could you explain what the STEM is?
Right, so a couple of questions there, but the trigger was, you know, it really is about application. So connecting all the dots and STEM being science, technology, engineering, and mathematics is not just that. It's a pedagogy where we're connecting all the dots. So kids in English language arts or in physical education or in social studies can see the rationale for what they're doing, and we're connecting all those classrooms together. So it really is a philosophy versus just four silos stuck together. And the trigger for me was the application of actually doing the work versus just being taught the theory, sit and get. So that really got me into trying to see where what was next. And I'm a fixer. We've been labeled as fixers, some of us. And you yourself talked about, you know, understanding how things work. And that's where I come from. And it got me to where I am right now. And there's lots of kids out there, and they want to see why they're in school. And that's really the pathway of them understanding, connecting the dots for them.
Yeah, I like it because STEM has really created a focus on the types of learning environments that are created at Gateway and in our partnering schools. I know recently we talked a little bit about the new Academies of Racine, and Gateway's partnered with Racine to develop a STEM-focused high school over at our S.C. Johnson IMED Center. And for years we've had a great partnership in Kenosha with the Lakeview Academy, which is really a STEM-based educational pathway with Project Lead the Way and other types of applied curriculum. But as I think about the important role that STEM plays, raising the visibility of the types of careers that Al is helping to inspire young people through their teaching to get involved in math and science and engineering and research and design and problem solving. And those are the types of skills that probably, you know, a generation or two ago were taught on our farms as people took apart their tractor and fixed it because they had to solve that problem today. And now we've got to create that environment in partnership with our community, and sometimes it's employers and other times it's schools, to give students the actual opportunity to take things apart and redesign and rethink about how things actually work.
This is the WGTD Morning Show. Greg Berg is off today. I'm Dave McGrath. We're joined today by Brian Albrecht, president of Gateway Technical College, and Al Gomez, the chief academic officer for the STEM Academy. Because I'm privileged to work at WGTD, and I am, and we have so many people from academia who come through our radio station, I'm always intrigued to discover things that I just wouldn't realize about those people. People who are now in administrative positions or president of the college actually worked their way through the ranks and were teachers at some point. Kurt Piepenberg, a longtime dean over at Carthage College,
sure.
He's a meteorologist. See, I wouldn't know that unless I had met him here. But I understand, Brian, you're a former technology teacher, are you not?
I still like to think I'm a teacher, but you're right. Absolutely. I started in the same pathway as Al. I graduated from UW-Stout, went off to Kewaunee and taught high school technology education. So I would say, like Al, I am a fixer. I like to do things and have students become involved. And at that time, of course, the word STEM wasn't real popular. I think we knew about it. There were different names for it. We had a science technology math initiative called STM, and the state had some funding behind it. And a group out of Chippewa Falls called Cray Research had a program called the Cray Academy, which were professional development workshops for teachers. It was kind of the beginning of what now today Al STEM Academy is doing across the country in professional development for teachers, understanding how math concepts relate to science concepts in an applied fashion. So I'm hoping that my students benefited from it. A few of them are teachers now themselves, so I'm quite proud of them as well.
So what are you telling me, Brian? So when Sylvester, our tech in this building is otherwise occupied and I can't get audio on my computer,
you can call me and I'll call someone else to try to help you. I tell you, that's an interesting observation because it changes so fast. You know, I taught drafting and design, but I taught with a pencil and a drawing board. My last year of teaching is when we got our first CAD station, and at that time it was called MatsyCAD. It was developed by Milwaukee Area Technical College, and now that would be so archaic. It'd be in a museum for most of our students because today, our students in the middle school and even some elementary schools are using some pretty sophisticated software that Ella described when he talks about the student learning activities to manipulate objects, to design and to draw and to create. And it's just such a powerful tool, technology, I mean, to help students really think about their future and how they can become engaged with it.
What's interesting is that, you know, only the advanced students when I was in high school were the ones that got to use MatsyCAD. So this was the two computers you had in the entire school, and one of them had MatsyCAD on it, and you were really privileged if you got to sit down on it for, you know, half hour.
Right, and it took a half an hour to do one printout because it just took so long to get done. But today it's all instant, and, you know, I think about how our students are taking classes today. You know, we're pretty much a mobile college, so on their phones they have apps that they can link back to additional learning software and, you know, paperless programs in automotive and healthcare where students carry around iPads and laptops and all of their records are recorded digitally. That's very different. E-books, you know, learning that takes place instantly as opposed to having to, you know, carry a big book around and figure out what page the assignment's on. It's just a completely different learning environment. STEM has helped to shape a lot of that for our career and technical programs.
Al, tell me how different STEM is from a traditional education path. Who is going to pursue STEM as opposed to a regular path?
What's interesting is that, you know, they renamed STEM 15 years ago. They first started calling it SMET, but somebody said that it didn't sound very good, so they rearranged the letters. And it's a different philosophy, but it's really ingrained in our schools. So it's nothing different than we haven't been doing for ages. It's just more attention being paid to it, meaning this. We've always tried to teach kids how to connect the dots. We've got this terminology now that shows us how that philosophy works called STEM. Now, STEM careers are targeting certain aspects of that threshold that you see in education, which are science, technology, engineering, mathematics. There's lots of tools inside of there that include all the classrooms. You're going to see that there's a wide variety of folks that are going to pursue those careers. And there's plenty of jobs open in those areas. 600,000 technical jobs in the STEM fields alone right now. And we can't fill these things. We're talking to employers all the time, and they can't fill project manager positions. They don't have people and talent. So the idea is that it's not anything different. It's just reorganized, and it shows it highlights areas to show kids a pathway to their future.
Well, Al mentioned just earlier that a lot of students are looking for a return on the investment on what their education is going to get them. And I don't know, either one of you can respond to this. So you just mentioned all those job openings. How do you then get that message to somebody who's maybe a sophomore or junior or senior in high school who is still not clear on what their path is going to be, still doesn't know what's out there, what's available, and still could be convinced that STEM is for him or her?
It's a really good question, Dave, and I think it points to the economic imperative that we have for STEM education, because not only the job market and the career paths that young people can go into, but to sustain the types of environments that our employers have today, for them to be competitive on a global market, to have talent that's going to be in a creative mode so they can create new products, is critical for the lifeline of the economies of our local communities. And so Gateway is really proud to be a part of that dialogue with our employers to help engage the thinking beyond where we are today. A couple of really good examples: our partnership with Snap-on, which we've talked about quite a bit, started as a result of diagnostics technology. That's the computer application in the car. And that's something that we were not teaching 10 years ago. Now it's really a basic fundamental skill that all technicians have to have. Kenall Lighting, another great company in Kenosha. People think, well, they make light bulbs. They do in some ways, but really innovative LED light bulbs that can do really amazing things, including serving as your Wi-Fi network for your building, create smart buildings, smart lights, you know, sterilization of hospital rooms, very creative and innovative ways to think about the traditional, you know, turn the light switch on type of concept. So at Gateway, we think we need to be involved even way before the high schools and the middle schools. We think it starts at the elementary school. So we've partnered with the Kenosha Boys and Girls Club and other organizations to create camps for kids. So we run all summer long summer camps on STEM education. So, you know, they're designing solar cars, and they're designing 3D printed products that they have, and rocketry, and all kinds of different ways to engage young people to think about math as it relates to something I want to do, or science as it relates to a learning activity. And so the STEM camps have been really popular for us here at Gateway. And once the academic year starts, we certainly want to stay connected with those classrooms and those teachers to bring them back on campus so that they can not only allow their students to experience, but they too can experience these great learning environments.
What's real fun is to see this happening across the country and beyond. So what we've done is to make sure that we pay attention to the neglected majority, meaning we can do a lot of things with the top end of a student body. But talking about solving this Rubik's Cube with all kids, you know, we're giving away the middle school curriculum. So anybody can use it anywhere, anytime. The idea is to inspire all kids, not just the ones that think they are going, but the ones that don't know they're going, which way they're going right now, like I was, right? And when they come up and they figure out as juniors or seniors, oh, boy, I guess I should have. We don't want to dead end them. We want to make sure they have horizontal places to go so they can then climb the vertical ladder.
You know, Al, you mentioned some curriculum, middle school curriculum. It might be important for our audience to just learn a little bit more about the STEM Academy and the organization that you represent. And when you talk about curriculum, how is curriculum developed and how do you get it out to schools?
Yeah, so our organization builds curriculum and professional development for schools. We teach teachers how to use this content, and most of them will use this in their everyday lives to supplement what is happening inside the classroom. So these are developed over the year. They're tested in the classroom and then deployed with supplies, et cetera, from the school. And then schools will use these to enhance what they're currently doing, meaning they're going to not change what they're doing, but do it a little differently. And this has been going on since 2006. 42 states, India, Bermuda, and Mexico next year. So there's lots of folks that are ringing the phone talking to us about trying to get kids excited about their education. And STEM101.org is where you can go. And if you're a middle school teacher or you're a parent of a middle school kid, top right-hand corner, and get that curriculum for free and enhance what you're currently doing in your schools.
We're talking to Al Gomez. He is the Chief Academic Officer for the STEM Academy at Gateway, and Brian Albrecht, the President of Gateway Technical College. So talking about the students, and I'm going to paint with a bit of a broad brush here right now, and maybe you can kind of steer me in the right direction. As far as stereotypes go, you know, back in the day, 30, 40, 50 years ago, nurses were women, teachers were women, math, science, that was for men. How does that gender, how does that break down now gender-wise for STEM?
Well, when we look at what's happening inside of STEM careers, technical careers, et cetera, we really see minorities and women having a different number than men. That's going to change in a not-too-distant future, meaning this. Let's just talk about minorities. When the minority becomes the majority, these companies that design products for us that we consume will want to know the cultural background of the folks that are buying those things. So those companies are going to start employing at a higher rate the minorities that represent the communities that buy these items to design products. Similarly, it doesn't make sense for a company that designs things for women to not be designed by women. So when this crisis is coming on top of businesses, when the minority becomes majority, is when the businesses will start hiring. And we're at about a 25% rate at the college level as far as women in engineering.
Yeah, you know, when we talk about STEM on campus here at Gateway, it really cuts across every discipline and impacts every student. So you really can't pull it out and say, okay, these careers are for men and these careers are for women. I think we really work hard to make sure that all students have access to all program opportunities. And in many cases now, when we say STEM, we actually add the letter A and call it STEAM just to make sure we include some visibility for the arts and really try to emphasize the fact that whether you're in a healthcare occupation, whether you're in an engineering occupation, or a trade-specific occupation, the importance of math and science applied in the context of the career that you're interested in, that's the fundamental philosophy that we're trying to build around STEM education. And we believe that there's creativity in all jobs, but there's also math and science in all jobs. And so it's really helping build that foundation of learning for students.
One of the key questions back 100 years ago when I was in the NASA program for astronaut selection was, do you play a musical instrument? And that artistic ability is going to be ingrained in everything we do. If we add a letter, lots of folks want to add letters to STEM, you know, stream, steam, steam, you know, it's all inside of there. But the idea is that artistic ability is really important in creating creativity. If we do well, and our metrics right now are measuring math and science and reading, et cetera, ABC 1, 2, 3. If we let go of the creativity piece and only measure ABC 1, 2, 3, then that creativity goes away. Other countries are really good at ABC 1, 2, 3. They're getting good at creativity. We don't want to lose that aspect of what we're really good at.
Is STEM, is it same across the country? Is this a universal approach, or are we doing something a little different than other people are doing, say, in the South or on the East Coast?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a universal approach. The direct applications may be a little different because of the types of industries and the types of, you know, learning environments that are made available for students here. I mean, if you think about what's happening just in southeast Wisconsin with the focus on freshwater technology and how water can be leveraged to better understand math and science principles, or manufacturing, 30% of our employment base is manufacturing, so we spend a lot of time on advanced manufacturing, computer numerical control, and so on. Other regions of the country might have other focuses that they're working toward. Even within the state of Wisconsin, it might be geographic in some ways. But I would suggest for the most part, the fundamental philosophy of STEM is consistent across the country, and that is, how do we increase the engagement level and the academic achievement level of students in math and science? And we do that through applied learning, and that is putting students in a setting where they're engaged in their community, working with employers, using their hands and minds at the same time to develop that enrichment experience so that when they think about their career, they're thinking about, how can I be self-motivated, continue my learning, lifelong learning, and really increase my academic ability so that I can achieve at a higher level.
How easy or how difficult is it today to get someone in high school or before who doesn't know what they want to do? I knew what I wanted to do in seventh grade. I was very blessed. I think a lot of kids are still meandering that pathway. I don't know what I'm going to do. My dad did this. My mom did this. So are kids coming to Gateway now already with a career track, or are they still looking?
Well, it's a little better today because we've spent so much effort on developing career paths. So we work with our middle and high schools to develop a pathway process where they have a chance to experience a variety of different career options, and it helps to narrow their interest area. And then we can develop articulated curriculum back and forth to help build that capacity for them. But I think one of the challenges we face, and I'll be really interested in Al's perspective on this, is if you think about education as sort of a business model, you know, we've prepared teachers to be math teachers, to be science teachers, to be English teachers, to be a career and technical education teacher. Rarely did we, even in their preparation, say, let's cross over those boundaries and say, okay, math, why don't you apply it in a science context, or science, how do you use technology to drive that learning context? So it's been difficult because the teacher development process is what is at the core success measure for us. If teachers are able to associate across disciplines, they can then transfer that knowledge much easier. And that's what STEM 101 does, primarily is teacher development.
What's really difficult is if you look at teaching as an industry, if you don't cross-train yourself or your employees, when that discipline goes away, you're stuck. My father was a lithographer. What's lithography? Look it up right now on your yeah. Google that, right? The idea was manipulating photos and things like that and packaging, et cetera. Well, computers came about in the mid to late 80s, and that art was lost because computers took it over. So if he was not cross-trained, then that goes away. Think about when slide rulers went off to the calculators. You know, we did the job of five people now in one object, and that's continuing to happen. What happens when we automate mathematics? You know, we need to make sure that we're cross-trained, not only because it's good for our professional lives, but it's great for kids so we can connect the dots and show the application, absolutely.
That's the voice of Dr. Al Gomez. He's the Chief Academic Officer at the STEM Academy here at Gateway, and he's joining Brian Albrecht, the President of Gateway Technical Academy. We've been talking about STEM sort of like the big overview, but how do you explain it to somebody who's a sophomore or a junior? And it's, you mentioned about it's the application of these ideas. So how do you explain it to a guy who loves working on cars, or a woman who wants to be like an oncology nurse? She wants to work in that department. How do you explain the application of STEM to those specific careers?
You might not want to. Meaning this, is that if they have a drive, if they have a desire, it's embedded in what they do. If we force feed a certain philosophy, et cetera, to somebody, they may not digest it. It's already there, right? So if it's something that kids are struggling with, that might be the time to show how we connect the dots. If they've already, I want to be an oncologist, I want to be a nurse, I want to be a teacher, right? We forget about all these kids that are in schools, and we don't inspire them to actually be teachers. We need lots of teachers right now. So the idea is to show them the application, show them how that mathematical principle is important in oncology, in CNC, wherever it might be. And if they've already got that piece, you know, you don't have to show them necessarily that it is STEM. It's embedded.
Yeah, I think it's really an interesting world we're in right now, because when I went to high school, you took a career infants inventory test and someone came out and told you, here are the three things that you might be interested in doing, right? By the way, none of them was to be a teacher or college president, but I'm thinking hoping it's working out okay. But you think about it, each one of us has a passion to do something in life, right? And oftentimes in a classroom of 25 or 30 students, there aren't enough ways to generate that passion. So STEM is really the igniter for that passion. So if you can create opportunities for students to work in groups and to design projects, some will take the leadership role on project development. Some will like to do the drawings related. Some would like to do the creative problem solving and pulling the supplies and materials together. You can quickly see where their passion is being brought out through these applied learning environments. And I think STEM is really that igniter to say, hey, I'm personally good at this. And if I pursue this, this could be a lifestyle for me, because there's great jobs in our community. I'm self-rewarded for taking part of it. And it creates, I think, opportunities for our businesses to really think about how education might be the stepping stone for their future growth.
You know, I alluded to the fact that there are businesses out there that are telling us that they can't find project managers. Who makes the best project manager? Boys, girls, men, women? Actually, it's women. They have attention to detail, they follow through, and they consolidate when they need to, they expand when they need to. They're the best project managers I've found. I still teach in the College of Engineering at the University of Wisconsin, and these are the people that organize, that keep track of things. Women really represent some rock star project managers, and we should see more of those in those roles.
Brian, you alluded to the STEM camps earlier, and I want you to expand on that. But also, we've been talking about addressing students and getting them focused on STEM. But what role do their parents play in this? Because that's your major influence early on in life, your parents.
Dave, you hit on a key element to the success of any sort of educational reform effort. And in Kenosha, for example, K-Tech, which is an extremely successful school, elementary school kids working on applied math programs, excited about what they're doing, getting involved in the community. We host a lot of those students on campus they tour our horticulture program, our Center for Sustainable Living. They're learning about new environments and they're manipulating energy systems. And that's really a creative way to think about a fourth grader learning about science. Very different from all going to a classroom and looking at a book and here's a thermometer, how do you read it? This is a hands-on, engaging way to learn. And I think those types of activities where Gateway can be a support system for a school, can create a lab type of environment that maybe the traditional school did not have access to. That's what we're doing in Union Grove and over at West Ocean and over at Badger High School and in the Racine schools. So it's through all of the different schooling. Depends upon the district of what level we're engaged at. Most of it's high school, but middle school and elementary is becoming more popular for our partnerships. But the key is to make sure that we have support for the teachers and that we are communicating effectively with parents so that parents know why there's something different happening in the school. Why are young people all of a sudden participating in college campus tours and, you know, getting involved in programs in the campus? So it's an awareness of it. Most parents, I think, understand that their kids are more adaptable to technology than maybe they are. At least I'm aware of that. So they get the idea that applied learning and technology is integrated into learning, and I think they support that. And if we can put that in a context of not only are we having fun with technology, but we're learning some career skills behind it, I think it's more important.
You know, some research will tell you, National Academy has put out a research project called Changing the Conversation. And what it says is the influencer on children's next steps is not the counselor and sometimes the parent, but really it's neighbor Nancy or Uncle Bill. So it's really important to have those external people available to students having lots of different perspectives. And parents, their job may be just to keep the kid between the lines, right? And Uncle Bill and neighbor Nancy are the ones that really influence them to make those decisions to do what they do.
We're talking to Dr. Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College. He's joining us on his monthly visit. He brought along with him Dr. Al Gomez, the chief academic officer for STEM Academy. And Brian, you mentioned earlier, under your direction, we've had a lot of partnerships formed here at Gateway with industries and businesses throughout southeastern Wisconsin. You mentioned Snap-on earlier. Are they all embracing STEM, or are you finding a lot of, that's a great idea, let's do that?
You know, we are. Because I think industry kind of has always been built around the concepts and the philosophy of STEM, and that's how do you stay innovative and, you know, how do you make sure that employees are allowed to be creative and really bring some of those ideas forward. So if you think about some of the industry concepts like Lean Six Sigma and Kaizen, where you get groups together and you try to create greater efficiencies and you identify the individual strengths that a team member might have and you elevate those in different ways. And Al mentioned terms like project management or team leads or supervisors, or, you know, at the college here, we do a lot of internal staff development with strengths and strength finders and helping to identify individual characteristics to allow our staff to grow in new and creative ways. So I think industry is understanding of the reasons why we need to have STEM embedded. But one of the important parts that we struggle with a lot is sort of the communication gap between education and industry. So oftentimes industry says we can't find the talent, or if we do have the talent, they don't have the skills necessary to compete at the level that we want them to compete. So it kind of becomes the school's fault. And the school says, well, you don't really tell us, industry, what exactly those skills are. And you say, just prepare them generically and, you know, make sure they come to work on time and we'll do the rest. Well, that's not really what they want either. So, you know, STEM helps to build that communication bridge between employers and schools to help teachers better understand what they mean by, you know, team building skills and what are these basic employability skills around communications. It's more than just being able to, you know, fill out a resume. They want people that are going to own their ideas and be able to express those in new ways. So I think STEM is a great foundation for strengthening communications between employers and schools.
So my job is to figure out how to bridge that gap, right? So we've built a new program called Corporate Connections, where I actually work with business and industry to build projects into and embed them into the curriculum. So I can embed those skills. I can show those branded projects inside the classroom. So it's the X company project, and students across the country or right in your backyard are using that. What it does also then is it builds pipeline for employment. So that's a new way of thinking about how projects and curriculum can be embedded in the classroom with those exact skills that Brian mentioned, that the companies brand inside of there and embed inside of those projects for the classroom.
What kind of questions do the employers bring to the table for you then with these kind of discussions?
Well, they want to see ROI. You know, they want to see return on investment. They don't just want to spend time and dollars in the classroom or with schools. They want to see what's on the back end, right? And they have lots of places that they can plug students into long term. They ask me, how do we get into the schools? How do we connect with the teachers? How do we make sure students are prepared? What kind of skills, I ask them, do you want to have on the back end? So my job is to bridge that gap and bring them together and make sure that we can work in concert to then bring those projects into the classroom. And it also, by the way, starts with teachers that are willing to have those doors open to industry and them come in.
We're talking to Dr. Al Gomez. That was his voice you just heard. He is the Chief Academic Officer at STEM Academy here at Gateway, and Dr. Brian Albrecht, the President of Gateway Technical College. Al, you mentioned earlier about all the STEM careers that are out there now. I think it would behoove us to mention that again, because I think everybody wants a job when they get out of high school and college. And Brian, refresh my memory. I see this billboard. I drive by 60th Street and 30th Avenue all the time. Is it 87% of Gateway grads end up with jobs within 6 months of graduation?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a very high job placement rate. I think in general, the technical college system, it really does a great job throughout the entire state of connecting the careers with the types of employers that are in the region. So we're fortunate here at our college to, you know, I tell our students 9 out of 10 of you will have a job within 6 months. Most of you will have that job before you graduate. And one of you will probably go on to a transfer program at the university or do something else within our community. So it's critical that we understand how we prepare young people for the jobs of the future, and that partnership with industry and that ongoing dialogue is critical. And when I think about the types of programs that we offer here and which ones would people say, oh yeah, I get it, that's a STEM career, like engineering. People understand that engineering is based on science and math, and yeah, you build things, right? So you build bridges, you build roads, and you design new products. And so that's an easy one to kind of wrap your head around what STEM represents. But let me just highlight a few others. Aviation aviation as an example. I mean, it would be very difficult today to be a pilot if you didn't have good navigational skills and understanding of coordinates and be able to apply math and principles so that you can figure out where that plane is flying, right? But we don't think of it in that context, right? Or even veterinary science, you know, our new vet tech program and how you have to apply science in different environments with new technologies and be able to calculate the math for sedatives and so on for animals. And it's just so many different dynamics that play into a career that we often overlook because we see the outcome of the career, right? I get to take care of animals, or I'm flying an airplane, or I'm fixing a car. But what does it take to be able to do that? You've got to understand your math, your science, your principles, and then be able to apply them in a context where you have a passion so you continue to accelerate your learning, because every one of those disciplines that I just mentioned will be different tomorrow than they are today. And so in our professions and that we train here at Gateway, it's a lifelong learning cycle. That's why so many adults come back to upgrade their skills. And I didn't even mention the ones around computers and, you know, the graphic design areas or the automotive or the computer numerical control. Each one of those are new and innovative models of learning that were probably here, you know, 50, 60, 70 years ago, but it was hand machining, and now it's all computer automation, so you've got to understand how computer numerical control, G-coding fits in to run that machine. Didn't have to know that 20 years ago. Today you do.
Yeah, it's a matter of making sure that you understand all the places you can go with the education you get. It's critical that we pay attention to all folks in education and all folks in our communities, because eventually we all are going to get jobs, right? Sitting on the couch, munching on the bag of chips and watching TV all day is not acceptable. We need to be productive citizens in our communities, and everyone's going to be in the job market. We don't know what path they're going to take, but we need to pay attention to everyone.
Yeah, I started our interview today just complimenting you, David, on how you manipulate all the technology in a radio broadcast. And I'm sure if you think back, or our audience thinks back, just basically how do we live our life? Entertainment, we'll use that as our example. We used to have records. Remember those?
Yes,
and then we had 8-track tapes, yeah. And we had cassette tapes, and then we had CDs. And now it's all digital. I'm watching your screen, and it's a push of a button, and you download all of the sound systems. So that's a different type of communication style. It's a different type of environment that a student would need to know in order to move into that world. And it's multiple platforms. So here you're doing radio, you're doing audio. I know you have a video blog, you have a website, you have all kinds of different feeder systems that come into that. So the expectations for someone to do your job today is very different than what it might have been 10 years ago. And so the training and the skills have to really evolve with that.
But I look right past him and I see the turntable right next to that digital.
Dave keeps everything here. It's like, no.
We play classical music at some point during the day,
and some of those
albums have never been moved over to CD or digital, so Greg Berg uses that turntable from time to time. Al Gomez is with us. He's the Chief Academic Officer from the STEM Academy here at Gateway, and Dr. Brian Albrecht, the President of Gateway. Al, if I could, you and Brian spoke earlier about some of the past history of STEM, how it started and how it's gotten to this point. Are you able to look into the future a little bit and see where STEM needs to go? Or is that a hard thing to do?
So let's look back briefly, and this STEM movement, what have you. Folks know what it is now, right? They understand it. Where we're going to go with it is really important to, again, bridge the community colleges, technical colleges, universities, apprenticeships, and industry. That bridge needs to be made with the pipeline, which is the K-12 education system. And not just K-12 formal education, but informal education, homeschool kids, after-school programs, summer programs. So the idea is education in the future needs to make sure that we're bridging that relationship, not just STEM education. So it's critical that now everybody knows about STEM, or they should. It's not just STEM, so you create this new silo and everybody else is outside of that. The business of education needs to pay attention to industry and to post-secondary education opportunities, including apprenticeships.
Yeah, and I think you're seeing some of that change. I mean, I know many universities now have departments that they call STEM, so they know in the preparation of teachers or engineers or other career areas that there is an important reason why STEM philosophy of science and math and engineering is embedded into those concepts. And that's helping to shape a new vision for students going into post-secondary education. Even here at Gateway, we gave some examples on the radio a few weeks ago about our Fab Lab, which is our 3D printing lab, to kind of create a visual for students around, you know, what is the future of manufacturing and production. Well, you can design it, create it on a computer, and send it over as a code and have a machine print it out for you. And then you can re-engineer it and redesign it and print it again. And so it gives students a kind of a window into the future of what their career paths might look like and what the jobs of the future might look like. But for me, when I look into the future, it's really, are we looking into the future of what we think would be kind of fun to do at school, or is it really the future of what Gateway should be preparing for the next generation of technicians? And that's where our concentration is, so that employer engagement, working with companies like Trane Corporation on building automation systems. So our HVAC program is really, it's digital controls now, and so we're training students on digital controls. And when we take a look at our partnership with Chrysler Corporation and making sure that there's industry certifications embedded into their academic programs so that they're aligned with the skill sets that employers are going to pay them for, not just the academic credentials, but what are we going to pay you for? That's the important part of where I see our college moving.
And that's why Gateway is so successful, because they do take a look at, everyone here takes a look at what is industry expecting, where are these kids going, and they've bridged that gap. My job across the nation and beyond is to help others follow that same model. Whether you're a kindergarten teacher or a college president, you need to pay attention to where kids are going.
You know, you mentioned the turntable behind us. I'm guessing a lot of grade school or high school kids don't even know what a turntable is, a record player, as we used to call it. And you two were talking about when you were at, was it West Milwaukee High School?
Correct. Yeah.
And you were a counselor or a teacher there. And you had two computers, and you kind of chuckled at that. What are we going to be chuckling about in 10 years that might be in this room right now besides a turntable? What do you think?
I think we're going to be looking back at these things we call cell phones and say, why did we use those objects? You know, the technology is going to be so crazy in a very short time that what we're using right now is going to be looked at as archaic.
Yeah, and probably the three of us sitting in a room like this, because I think programs like this will be broadcast in many different ways. I was so intrigued with the closing of the Olympics and the passing of the torch and sort of the montage of what Tokyo is going to bring to the Olympics. And robots are actually going to be very actively engaged with providing information for tourism. And so that in that short window, 4 years from now, when people watch that program, they will be amazed at what the rest of the world is doing in relationship to artificial intelligence, human adaptation, and the things that are possible that will be in the lives of our children, the next generation. That's what they're going to deal with.
Sure. Go ahead.
What I will say is we need to be a little careful on that, because the interaction that we're having and reading each other's body language, the table time, is going to be really important, because all this automation, all this artificial intelligence can get away from the actual physical interaction of people. And that's going to be really important to keep teaching over the next so many years.
In our final minutes, Brian, if you could, if someone, or Al, someone wants to learn more about STEM, once again, that is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, or the services that you provide, your organization provides, how do they do that? How do they find you? How do they reach you?
It's real simple, stem101.org, and you can look at all the resources that are available about us or contact us. My email address is up there. My phone number is up there. And you can get a hold of us at any time, business, academic, technical, or corporate, the Corporate Connections Program.
And schools in our area, Al, could just reach out to you to help with that curriculum, that ongoing training?
Absolutely. We're giving away the middle school curriculum. Feel free to get a hold of me, and we'll make sure that you have it in your schools to use as a resource for whatever you're teaching.
And I would add to that, Gateway is a partner with STEM 101. So if locally people wanted more information, they could always just call us here at the college or go to our website, too, and link back to our College Connection program, and we'll get everyone connected for professional development or the curriculum that Al's talking about or some of the unique programs that we offer here at the college related to STEM.
Very good. I had fun, and I learned something today. Dr. Al Gomez, Chief Academic Officer for STEM Academy, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you for the invite.
And Dr. Brian Albrecht, the President of Gateway Technical College, on your monthly visit. Always lovely to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Dave. My pleasure.
See you next month.
You bet. I'll be here.
And my thanks to WGTD News Director Dave McGrath for so ably stepping in and recording this interview with President Brian Albrecht late last month. Tomorrow on The Morning Show, I hope you will be able to hear the interview that I have recorded with novelist Jennifer Chiaverini, a best-selling novelist many times over. Her latest book is called Fates and Traitors. It is a novel that stems from the fascinating life of John Wilkes Booth. Ms. Chiaverini will be coming to Kenosha for a book signing next Wednesday. Support for The Morning Show comes from Carthage College, reminding you that Carthage's homecoming is this weekend, and the weekend culminates with the homecoming concert presented by the Carthage Choir and Carthage Wind Orchestra, Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock at Siebert Chapel. The concert is free and open to the public, Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock. Support for The Morning Show also comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, a unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe.